1 Peter chapter 5. If you find chapter 5 in 2 Peter, you've got the wrong Bible. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5. We do need help Saturday. Brother Steve's going to have 500 Easter flyers ready to go. And we're going to need help. We've got 2,000 of these tickets to give out in the month of April. And it's going to take some labor, take some work. So if you can come and help us, please do so. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I don't know that I've preached out of this chapter since I guess it was that Wednesday night. Early on, wasn't it? Amen. You remember that? I do. That's the chapter where the Lord put it in my heart to take the church when I was out here on the parking lot reading. But I'm looking at a thought tonight, casting all your care upon Him. Seems like lately, I don't say this in a complaining way, but there's a lot of people with a heavy load. And you don't have to go far to find somebody that's carrying a heavy load. And if you're not carrying a heavy load tonight, let me ask you to do this. Help bear someone else's. Because next week, you may need someone to help you bear yours. Amen. And so, it's an unusual way the Lord put this together in my heart. Myself, I think I learned a couple of things here, and I'm just looking at the chapter, and it's centered around verse 7, where it said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's read verse 6, 7, and 8, and then we'll go back to verse 1 when we start through the outline tonight. The Bible said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And then He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. We'll dive right in. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, that we know the God of the Word. Thank You, Lord, for being our mediator tonight. Lord, I'm glad tonight, Lord, as we live day by day, as we come in the altars, we approach Your throne, as we fellowship with other believers, God, that we can cast all of our care upon You because, Lord, You care for us. Help us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' precious, precious name, amen and amen. I want to, before we get started, look at verse number 7 for just a little bit. And to cast, it comes from a Greek word that means to throw upon. Now, I want you to remember what I'm about to say about the word care. It's something that I learned when I looked at the Greek word, and I didn't write the Greek word down, but here's what it means. It means the idea of distraction. Now, you'll understand a little bit more about why that's important a little bit later on. Casting all your care upon Him because He careth for you. Let me just say this tonight. How many believes tonight that texting and driving is dangerous? Looking down at a cell phone. There have been people that have gotten in accidents just over a radio. They're just looking at the dial on the radio. And I think I heard a commercial the other day on the radio that said, if you're doing 55 miles an hour, I can't remember if it was just a second or two, that you travel the length of a football field in just a couple seconds. Okay? And so it's dangerous. In other words, they call it distracted driving. Am I right or am I wrong right there? Let me set a little groundwork right here. Let me tell you something what God put in my heart. Not only is distracted driving dangerous, but for us as God's people, distracted living is dangerous. You'll get a hold of this after a while. It'll bless your heart, I believe. Amen. In other words, when the Bible said casting all your care, and that word means the idea of distraction, casting all that upon Him, because He doesn't want us to be distracted. He wants us to keep our focus. He wants us to keep our focus on why we're here. He wants us to keep our focus on Him. He wants to keep our focus on what's important and not what's not important and what's temporal. And so tonight as we get into this now, I think it'll help you. It's helped me as I studied it. But I'm going to give you seven things tonight. And we'll just start in verse number one and go down through here. Casting all your care upon Him. And we might say, why? Why should we? Why should we be careful not to be distracted? Why should we cast all of our care upon Him? And I'll give you seven reasons tonight. And they all begin with the word because. Okay? Number one, because no one ever cared for us like Jesus. That's why we ought to cast our care upon Him. That's more than just the title of a song. The Word of God said here, for He careth for you. You say, preacher, what do you mean no one ever cared for us like Jesus? Look at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom I also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Honey, when you look at Calvary, you'd have to say, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. And we ought to cast all our cares. I'll tell you something tonight. Listen. Many, many times in my life, God has used Calvary to pull my focus back to where it was supposed to be. I got distracted, got sidetracked. How many knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes you don't just get sidetracked, you get sideways while you're sidetracked. Amen? And God used Calvary to get you back. Let me just say this tonight. In case, somewhere along the way in a church situation, you ever get your heart crushed by another believer or by a situation among Christians, I believe a lot of people are out of church tonight because they did not discover that, hey, if you can just get back to Calvary and look up at Him, you'd say, hey, I've suffered nothing in comparison with what He suffered. Amen. And so no one ever cared for us like Jesus. We ought to cast all of our care upon Him because no one ever cared for us like Him. He cared for you. It's seen in His suffering, the sufferings of Christ, and will also be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. It's seen in the second coming of Christ. He cares so much for us that He's going to come and get us. He's going to look down one day and say, that's enough, youngins. Come on home. Amen. And what a blessing that's going to be. Let me give you this. His care can not only be seen in His suffering. His care can not only be seen in the second coming. But let's read on. The Bible said here, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples or ensamples to the flock. His care, oh boy, I like this. You're going to like this. His care is seen in His sheep. He cared enough about the sheep to give them a shepherd. Beside that, I wrote the word pastor. That's what that's talking about right there. Feed the flock of God. God cared enough about the sheep, Brother Gale, to give them a shepherd. It looks like up at Calvary Bible in Bristol, they're telling me, I'm talking to some of the deacons, talking to some of the people the other night in a revival meeting. It looks like maybe they're getting close, amen, to getting a man of God in the pulpit to be their shepherd after Brother Eddie died. And that'll be a blessing, amen. I said, God cared enough about the sheep to give them a shepherd. Let me give you this. You'll like this. God cared enough about the shepherd.
Hallelujah. To give him some sheep. Glory to God. That thrills my heart. How would you like to have a shepherd's heart and a shepherd's calling and not have any sheep? God cared enough about the sheep to give him a shepherd, cared enough about the shepherd to give him some sheep. We ought to shout right there. No one ever cared for us like Jesus. We ought to cast all our care upon him because he cares for us, and no one ever cared for us like Jesus. Let me give you this. You're going to like this now if you'll stay with me. Secondly, the Lord spoke to my heart. We ought to cast all of our care upon him. I'm going to see if I can get an amen right here. Because if we don't, it will hinder our appetite for God's word and our growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm looking for an amen. How many of you ever come to church carrying all your cares? You're sitting there and you're consumed by your cares. You don't hear nothing the preacher says. You don't hear nothing the Sunday school teacher says. The choir sings, Brother Ralph. You don't get a blessing out of it because we're consumed with our cares. Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to cast all of our care upon him, because if we don't, it'll hinder us from hearing the word of God, feeding on the word of God. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you. I've often said, sometimes, or you know, if it's the Bible being preached, that ought to be food. And that's good food. You can't get better food than the Bible. But sometimes, beloved, the problem, listen, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about all of us, is an appetite problem. Amen. Sometimes, you know, our appetite's not what it should be because we've been snacking in places where we shouldn't have been snacking. Or snacking on things we shouldn't have been snacking on. Amen. But sometimes it's cares. We're just so loaded down with care. And we ought to cast all of our care upon him. Because if we don't, it'll hinder us from hearing the word of God. It'll hinder us in our growth. And then, number three. I'm excited about this. It's just a little thought the Lord gave me, but I like it. We ought to cast all of our care upon him, not only because no one ever cared for us like Jesus, not only because if we don't, it'll hinder our appetite for God's word, but number three, because when he comes, we'll be glad we did. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look here at verse number. The Bible said, when the chief shepherd shall appear. Let me ask you something. When he steps out on that cloud and says, come up hither, how do you want him to find you? You want him to find you all burdened down with cares when all he wanted us to do was lay it over on him. Cast it on him. You know, if we cast in our cares upon him, we'd be looking to him when he comes. We'd be looking for him when he comes. And by the way, let me give you this. We'd be longing for him when he comes. That's what John was doing in the Revelation, beloved. He saw the resurrected Christ. He saw the church age. He saw the tribulation. He saw the beast. He saw the Antichrist. He saw the devil. He saw, beloved, hell, the bottomless pit. He saw the new city. He saw, beloved, the bride of Christ. And after he saw it all, he said, the best thing could ever happen, even so come, Lord Jesus. And I believe tonight, if we would be casting our care upon him, we'll be looking for him. We'll be looking to him. And if we don't cast our care upon him, we'll wish we did. But we'll be glad that we cast our care upon him when he comes. I appreciate that, don't you? Listen to this. The Bible said in Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart, wait a minute. I want y'all to listen to this. I want you to get a hold of this. Your hearts be overcharged. How many remembers Brother Brian's Sunday school? I'll never forget it as long as I've got a memory to remember anything. Oh, with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life so that that day, Jesus coming, come upon you unawares. Now you say, preacher, what's your point right here? Here's my point. We think a whole lot bad about drunkenness. Well, if Brother Rose comes staggering through that door, that'd tear me up. Ain't that right? We look down on that. Well, we're not going to put up with that. But right there in the same verse, it didn't just say drunkenness and that. It said the cares of this world. You know what I believe, Brother Ralph? I hear talk. I'm not being negative. I'd like to see it break out like it used to break out. I'd like to see God's people shout like they used to shout. I'd like to see them sing like they used to. I'd like to see two or three preachers on the floor at one time preaching like it used to happen in the house of God. But I believe the cares of this life have so weighted God's people down. Beloved, back yonder, they didn't have a stock market to care about. The stock market might have been there, amen, but that wasn't what was consuming their mind. Beloved, listen, listen, listen. The Bible said when the chief shepherd shall appear, I believe we ought to cast all our care upon him, because when he comes, we'll be glad we did. Listen to Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Beloved, listen, I'm not preaching at you tonight or to you tonight. I can relate to the cares of this world choking the word of God out in my life. I think anybody that's lived for God very long can relate to that. But in Luke 8:14, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches. Watch this word. And pleasures of this life. And bring no fruit to perfection. You see, it's given the verse a whole new meaning to me. Before I studied this out, when I would have thought about cares, Brother Gale, all I would have thought about maybe somebody having somebody sick in the family, or maybe having a death in the family, or maybe having a loved one that. But God's teaching us something here tonight. Honey, the cares of this life, just anything. It could be somebody sick, somebody dying, somebody that's lost. But Jesus said, I want you to put that burden over on me, because if we don't, we're going to be distracted. We'll get our eyes off of Him. Get our eyes off of His Word. Get our eyes off of what's important in life and begin to dwell on the temporary. The temporal instead of the eternal. How many believes that's right tonight? The devil don't care how he gets us distracted. Just so he gets us distracted. Jesus, Peter said, casting all of our care upon him, for he careth. Brother Johnny, I hope you never live to see the day when that little boy that's stepping on your toes right now steps on your heart. But remember this if you do. The whole idea of that care, God said, I want you to just put it over on me. Because what the devil's trying to do is get you distracted. Get your eyes off of Jesus. Get your eyes off of what's important. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because no one ever cared for us like Jesus. Because if we don't, it'll hinder our appetite for God's Word. And then because when He comes, we'll be glad we did. Boy, you're going to like this next one. Every one of us that are human beings are going to like this next one. What's the next one, preacher? Look at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Never in my life have I gotten out of this chapter what God gave me this time around? Why, preacher, should we cast all of our care upon Him? Because failing to do so is a subtle form of pride. What we're saying, Brother Rose, is I can handle this. My shoulders are broad enough. I can take care of this. How many's ever made a mess taking care of something that you're supposed to lay over on Him? How many's ever had the devil make a mess out of you while you was trying to take care of something that God wanted you to cast over on Him? When you read this in its context, it makes perfect sense. God is saying, hey, what you're doing is, you're saying, thanks, but no thanks. I know you want this load. I read a story a little while back. Y'all probably heard the illustration about the man that was carrying a heavy burden. The guy stopped with his wagon. He said, man, I'll give you a ride. Jump up in the wagon. He jumped up in the wagon. They went down the road a couple miles. He looked around, and that guy was still carrying that burden on his back in the wagon. He said, man, you don't have to carry that burden. He said, you're in the wagon. Lay that burden down. Wouldn't that look good, going in the wagon with the burden still up on your back? He was just tickled to get a ride. A lot of God's people are tickled to be in the family, but they ain't never found out that they could lay the burden down. Well, glory to God. And when preacher won't lay it down, it's a form of pride. It's a subtle form of pride. But in God's eyes, it's a sinful form of pride. You say, preacher, I don't know how you could say a word like that. How about this? Whatsoever's not of faith is sin. You know what it takes to lay it down at Jesus' feet? It takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For we must believe that He is. That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jim Hagee, you ever try to carry it yourself? Brother Richard, you ever try to carry it yourself? It's a form of pride. Well, I can take care of this. I tell you what, y'all pray for me, because I tell you sometimes right now, pastors can get caught in that trap. They try to carry stuff they ain't got no business carrying. Don't get me wrong, a pastor ain't worth his salt if he won't carry the burdens of his people. But I tell you, God wants us to learn to lay them down, not get distracted. Amen. Get distracted. Because failing to do so is a subtle form of pride. Just got a couple more things. We'll be done. Casting all your care upon Him, because He careth for you. Why should we do that? Because no one ever cared for us like Jesus. Because if we don't, it'll hinder our appetite for God's Word. Because when He comes, we'll be glad we did. And because failing to do so is a subtle form of pride. Number five. What a statement God gave me. Listen to this. The Bible said, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let me ask you something. Have you ever gone through something and you felt like you was the only one in the whole world who went through it? God's Word just said different. He said the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. You say, preacher, what's number five? Why should we cast all our care upon Him? I want you to listen to this statement. Because we have a Savior that could not care more. And we have an enemy that could not care less. The devil could care less. Anything that he can do to get us distracted. Marriages have went down the tubes because a man went to work or a woman went to work. and they got distracted. How many knows what I just said? That's exactly right. Churches have gotten in big trouble because they got distracted. They forgot what they're here for. Some churches today are clubs. Let me just say this tonight. There is not one thing in the world that I can find wrong with fellowship. In the Bible, they went from house to house breaking bread and having fellowship. But honey, a fellowship's all you have. That's not what God left the church here for. The Bible said they were witnesses. The Bible said they exhorted one another daily, and even so much the more as they saw the day approaching. The Bible said to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. The Bible said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Because we have a Savior that could not care more, and we have an enemy that could not care less. He hates you. He hates me. He hates our church. He hates my children. I heard from my daughter yesterday. I told her that it's coming out right now, but I told her, I said, honey, there are a lot of people at church that tell me they're praying for you. It was good to hear from her. Keep praying for her. Amen. But you know what the devil would like to do? He'd like to get me distracted. I believe he could care less. Why should we cast all our care upon him? Because no one ever cared for us like Jesus. Because if we don't, it'll hinder our appetite for God's word. Because when he comes, we'll be glad we did. Failing to do so is a form of pride. And because we have a Savior that could not care more and an enemy that could not care less. Number six, why should we cast all of our care upon him? Because he has enough grace for every care. Look at verse number 10, I think it is. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. How many believes he has enough grace? You know what Paul was doing when he besought the Lord three times to take that thorn away from him? That thorn in the flesh? All kinds of ideas about what that was. I'm not sure what it was. I'm not sure God wanted us to know exactly what it was. He had a bulging eyes. You see how large a letter, a disease called ophthalmia. I'm inclined to think that thorn in the flesh was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. The Bible did say that. And what I mean by that is when the Apostle Paul got up to preach, you remember God gave him a revelation. He said, now you can't tell anybody because they'll make a god out of you. They'll exalt you above measure. You remember that? And so, lest I would be exalted, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. I really believe the enemy, the one that could care less about Paul, about you, about me, I believe every time Paul stood up to preach, he was gouging him and saying, tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Because, you see, the enemy will do anything to get the people's attention and focus off of Jesus. There are people that have fell into that trap even with men. They put man on a pedestal. And then when something happens in that man's life, they're going to quit now. I'm going to tell you something right now. We ought to be going because of Jesus. And we hadn't ought to ever quit because of Jesus. Amen? Because He has enough grace. God has enough grace. He's the God of all grace for every care. You remember what Paul said when he was praying about that? God said, I'm not going to remove it. I'm paraphrasing a little bit in 2 Corinthians 12, I believe. He said, but my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul didn't argue about it. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He wasn't distracted anymore. He took it to the throne of grace. He laid it down there. God gave him an answer, said, nope, I'm not going to remove it. Has something to do with your humility. Has something to do with you not being lifted up in pride. Then he said this. He said, in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. You remember that? Honey, the God of all grace has enough grace for every care. Everything that would distract us can be laid at the feet of Jesus. He'll take care of it. Then the last thing in the message that the Lord spoke to my heart about. I hope you've enjoyed this tonight. I have. Somebody said one time, if you don't enjoy your preaching, then won't nobody else enjoy it. I kind of believe that. Amen. I'm like my grandpa. He told somebody one time, a lot of men can preach better than I do, but he said, ain't a man living can enjoy it anymore than I do. The last thing tonight, if you look at verse number 11, the Bible said, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Brother Gail, why should we cast all of our care upon Him? I'll tell you why. It brings glory. It brings glory to the Son of God when we cast all of our care upon Him. I'm just glad you come tonight. I believe that most of us, being the humans that we are, Brother Gary Musselman was telling me the other day that he had about 5 or 6 Zebco 33s, Brother Houston, that he's going to give us for the Bible school, since we're doing a Bible school on Fishers of Men. Most of us, being the humans that we are, Sister Miriam, here's how we cast our care upon Him. When we do, we go. Then, Brother Harv, we reel it back in. That's not what the Bible's talking about. That song, Brother Ralph, I can't remember the name of it, but cast your burden on the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. You know which one I'm talking about, don't you? Leave it there. Oh, he said, preacher, that's easier said than done. The flesh can't do it. That's why it takes faith. That's why it takes faith to put somebody or some situation in the arms of God and say, God, you can't handle it. Ain't no use of me trying to help you. Bigger than I am. I think he likes to hear that. One of the things I shared with Brother Brian early on is when the waves of trouble are over your head, they're under His feet. He's walking on the waves. He's the only one that can handle the waves. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You glad you come tonight? Y'all pray for your pastor. He'll pray for you. And may the Lord just help us do a better job, Brother Rose. laying it down at the feet of Jesus. What did the Bible say? Man that is born of woman in a few days full of trouble, right? John, the book of John, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Here it is. Look how it all fits together, Brother Thurman. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So that's why he wants it. He's the one that can handle it. He's the one that wants us to cast all of our care upon him. I appreciate you coming tonight. How many's glad you saved? How many's glad we have a place to lay it down? Amen. Lay it down. Father, thank you tonight for meeting with us. God, I appreciate your people. I appreciate your presence. Lord, there's so much in this world to distract us. So much. God, I pray that you would help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. I pray, O God, tonight, we just glean something from this message, Father, that might help us on down the road another mile. Lord, it ain't going to be long, and he that shall come will come. I pray you bless your people. Give us a good day Saturday, Lord, a good turnout. Lord, I know that some will have good reason. Some will just be distracted by other things. I pray, God, you'd give us a good turnout. Help us to get out and get the word out, to invite others, get the gospel out. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Thank you, Lord, for trusting us with the sheep here at Bible Way. In Jesus' name, amen.